All right, turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. All right, if you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it starts out by saying, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty." Now, a lot of people get hung up on what are the last days. The last days really do refer to the time when Jesus was ascended to heaven until he comes again. So how long have the last days lasted? At least about almost 2,000 years, all right? If Jesus was ascended around 33 or 36 or somewhere around there AD, we're still not quite to 2,000 years then, but it's been around 2,000 years. We know that we are living in the last days, but they've been living in the last days ever since Jesus ascended. And Paul said, in the last days there will come times of difficulty. And then he describes how people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. That's just started to happen in the last days, hasn't it? That's been around ever since way before, since the very beginning, when in the fall into sin. But epidemic proportions of disobedient to their parents. What's the next one say?
Ungrateful.
Anybody have a different translation?
Unthankful.
Okay? Ungrateful or unthankful. Now, God has given us all things in Christ. And that means all things that are necessary for life and godliness, all things that's necessary to conform us into the image of Christ. And we just sang about some of those things. What are all the things that God uses to make us more like Christ? Pain and
pleasure.
Roses and thorns. Tears and joy and sorrow. And so God uses all those things, and so we ought to be grateful. Are you a thankful person or an unthankful person? What characterizes your life? I love quotes by Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers from England, way back in the 1800s. And he said this, "If we will only think, we shall begin to thank." If we will only think, we shall begin to thank. And what that means is if we're not thanking, we must not be thinking. What does that say then? In the last days, people will be unthankful. So people must be unthinking. That's a tragic problem in our society. And we might say that it trickles down to the church. We have society at large who is often unthankful, and it trickles down to the church. But I wonder if oftentimes it doesn't appear that that trickles down to the church, but that the church is leading the way in being unthankful. And if the church leads the way in being unthankful, that means that we're leading the way in being unthinking. And that should never be the case for anyone who calls themselves a child of God. A lack of thinking produces a lack of thanksgiving, and a lack of thinking produces much complaining. Something inside of all people, though, tells us that we ought to be thankful people. Even people outside of Christ think that they ought to be thankful for something. So our society says that we pause for a few days, a weekend, or a few, maybe a few hours, or maybe a few moments, or maybe not even pause at all. We eat turkey, and we watch football, and we have fun with family. And that's basically what Thanksgiving is for many people. We've spent a lot of time in Romans 1 recently, and God has given everybody a knowledge of Him. How does everybody have a knowledge of God? Jim? They're born with it. How are they born with a knowledge of God? They're born with a conscience. Creation. Okay, everybody in the world can look out and see creation. And Paul says in Romans 1, they're without excuse. They see that he exists, that he is eternal, that he is powerful. And although they knew God, it says they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. So everybody knows we ought to, there is a God who made us, there's a God who made all this, and we ought to give thanks. And although they knew that, they did not give thanks to him. So how many people, even though today is called Thanksgiving, are truly thankful? How many of us today are truly thankful people? A lack of thankfulness comes from a darkened heart, says Paul. And how many people are going to have a feast and then supposedly we're thankful and then we're going to rush pell-mell to Black Friday to get everything that we think we need? Maybe you're not going to do that, but that's the characteristic. And maybe you are going to do that. I'm not saying don't do that. You might get a sale that you really need, okay? But people live for that. Like, I need more than what I have. Well, there are really two kinds of people in the world. First of all, there are people who think that they are entitled people. And they're entitled, complaining people. If people foolishly assume that they're good people, then they will foolishly and arrogantly think that they're deserving people. They will place themselves in the center of their world and live with an, I deserve this, I deserve that. And their whole mentality is, I deserve. I am entitled to this, I am entitled to that. They develop that sense because of who I am. I deserve all that, and I need all that. And all people, relationships then exist to fulfill my needs. You know any people like that? Are you like that? Am I like that? Anytime we are complaining people, we're always thinking about what our rights are and what we deserve and what we need. And everybody, when we think like that, we're thinking everybody ought to focus every day on meeting my needs. And in their foolishness and arrogance, they've forgotten that this universe wasn't created to serve them. They are not the center of attention, despite what they wish or what they think. And unavoidably, most people will fail to cater to them or recognize what I think are my personal needs. And since I didn't get what I thought I deserved, I have a multitude of reasons to complain and grumble. Isn't that true? Think of the times in your life when you complain and grumble. When we do that, we're thinking, really, I am the center of the universe and everybody ought to be here to make me feel happy. Think of Jesus, who is the center of the universe, and he didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Well, where does this grumbling find its roots? Where does the grumbling in our lives find its roots? Does it find its roots in everybody else not doing what they should do to me? Where does grumbling and complaining find its roots? You could point to the place where it finds its roots, in our own hearts. And if I view myself inaccurately, I'm viewing myself foolishly and arrogantly, and so I'm an entitled complainer. Well, what other kind of person is there in the world? Well, number two, there are humble, thankful people. What if, instead of assuming that I'm a good and deserving person, I view myself accurately? All right, so I just said, if you view yourself as an entitled person, you're going to be complaining. That's an inaccurate thing. If we view ourselves correctly, instead of assuming that we're good and deserving people, we view ourselves accurately through the lens of Scripture. We often have asked the question around here in the past year and a half, how are you doing? And what has become the most popular answer? Better than I deserve. And is that true? Is that a true thing or not? If I was in a car accident today and I was thrown and I was scraped across the pavement and had road burn over a lot of your body and then somebody else ran over part of your body and you were in the hospital today or I was in the hospital, you know, that would still be more than I deserve. Because what do I deserve? The wrath of God, the lake of fire. And the Bible tells us that everything in this universe was designed by God and created by him for his own glory and his own pleasure. And he is before all things, and by him all things exist. Well, that means this world, with all of its created pleasures, was not made to celebrate me. Everything here, God didn't say, you know, how am I going to make this world so that when Mike Goldfuss is born, I just make him happy? I mean, we don't want to disappoint him ever. We don't want to make him disappointed about anything. We just want to make him happy all the time. Well, God made everything to bring glory and honor and joy to himself. So the created glories of this world are designed to direct us to our Creator. He's the center of our universe. I am not. He's the center of the universe. You are not. On top of that, the gospel tells me that I'm not a good person. And so when I think wrongly, I'm going to be ungrateful because I'm thinking that I'm the center of everything because I'm a good person. And God says that's not the case. In fact, God doesn't tell us that we're good. He tells us that we're sinners with hearts that are deceitful and desperately wicked. And that's really who we are before God. But God, with what can only be described as outrageous grace. Outrageous grace. And really, if we look at ourselves as God really sees us, and to think that he does anything good for us, that is outrageous. And it's outrageous grace that he turned his face of mercy and kindness toward me, and he punished Jesus on that cross in my place. He was my propitiation, my sacrifice, or his sacrifice in my place to remove the wrath of God from off of my head. And now every good thing in my life and every bad thing in my life is an undeserved blessing. All right? Scraped across the pavement, road burned, somebody else runs over you, you're still alive. That is an undeserved blessing because that's still better than what I deserve, which is eternal lake of fire. And when we see God's outrageous grace like that to us, instead of giving us what we deserve, we will be filled then with feelings of humility. And not just feelings of humility, but humility and thankfulness and undeserved blessing that God has poured out on my life. When we understand this, we're not thinking about what I am entitled to, not thinking about all the disappointments in my life. We're thinking about what we have that we do not deserve. Now, instead of trying to exploit situations, locations, relationships, everything to serve me, I will now approach people and places with a servant's heart. Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve. And I will be so overwhelmed with gratitude at the sacrifice of Christ that my life will now be defined by similar sacrifice for other people, not just what I want to do. Now that's a better way. So the question when we come to Thanksgiving really is, how accurately are we viewing ourselves before God today? Do you think you are a good, deserving person who has been unjustly forgotten? Or do you think you are a rotten person who has been unjustly forgiven? And it's really not unjust, because God did exact justice on the person of Jesus Christ when he justified us and when he redeemed us and when he put Christ forth to be that propitiation. It makes a world of difference. Ask yourself the questions that are on the back of this little sheet today. All right, if you have the sheet handy, just look at those questions. Would the people who live nearest to you characterize you as a complaining person or a thankful person? And what's our first answer? Well, of course they would characterize me as a thankful person, because I'm sure that's who I am. But think about that. Number two, when was the last time you sat down to literally count your blessings? Number three, when was the last time you spent time grumbling, moaning, and complaining about life? And if we're honest, probably number three is more recent than number two for most of us. Number four, when you look at your world, are you pessimistic about everything that's going wrong? Or are you still thankful that God is on his throne and that he has given us still what we do not deserve? Number five, when you look at your world, do you find yourself celebrating God's common grace? We hear about terrorists in our news today. And you know, terrorists exist because God is giving them oxygen to breathe. And he gave them food today. And that is kind, common grace. The same air that we breathe is the same air that they're breathing. It's kind of far away and split up, hopefully. But we do share the same oxygen because the same God who gives us life is the one giving them life. Number six, do you view yourself as one who has been constantly shortchanged and neglected? Boy, I always seem to get the short end of the stick. Why me? And we ought to say, why am I not suffering today because of my sin, where I justly deserve to suffer? Number seven, do you view yourself as one who has been unfairly showered with blessings? We often say, well, I've been unfairly showered with difficulties and trials. Well, have you ever been unfairly showered with blessings? And the answer for that is absolutely. Number eight, how often do you fill in the blank with grumbling, like, if I only had this, or I wish that was different in my life? Now, that's probably a little bit more where it's a concrete thing for us, that where the rubber meets the road. Number nine, how often do you fill in the blank with gratitude, like, I can't believe God has given me this beater car, or this sickness right now to draw me closer to him, or to have me depend on him more, or this trial that's going on in my life right now. Number 10, in your relationships, are you encouraging friends and family to continue their grumbling? That just kind of cracks me up. Because we do that. We may not see, you know, keep on grumbling, but we enter into conversations like that where grumbling's going on and we participate. So indirectly, we're encouraging people to continue their grumbling and complaining. 11, in your relationships, are you encouraging friends and family to find reasons to give thanks to God? Number 12, in your relationships, do you find yourself frequently tearing others down? If I'm the center of the universe, then I will tear many people down. If I'm not the center of the universe, do I see God doing anything in that person's life by his grace, as he's done in my life? And number 13, in your relationships, do you find yourself frequently building others up? Well, I want to close with one verse. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. We'll start with verse 31. Jesus is speaking and he says, "And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners, or even those outside of God's family, love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good," this is the key verse, "and lend, expect nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the" who? "Ungrateful" or "unthankful" and "the evil." Being ungrateful is evil. Being unthankful is evil. And how does God treat those who are ungrateful? What does it say? He is kind. Have you ever been ungrateful? What does God call that? Evil. And how has God treated you when you were unkind and ungrateful? When you were ungrateful, how has God treated you? Mercifully, kindly, graciously. And so we have the command, be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Paul closes in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, and he talks about giving to the saints in Jerusalem, those poor, persecuted believers in the city of Jerusalem. And he says, we're thinking about giving. And he says, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. We have the most inexpressible gift that I could not possibly express how great it is in Jesus Christ. God became flesh, came to this earth, obeyed the law perfectly, which you and I have never done. And God forgives us our sins because Jesus obeyed in our place. And he forgives us our sin because Jesus died in our place, if you will repent of your sins and trust Christ. That doesn't happen just because Jesus did that for everybody. He commands all men everywhere now to repent and believe the gospel. And God has been so kind to us to give us his Son. What do you really want from God? Do you want for God what he wants for you, which is to conform you more to the image of Christ? Or do you want for yourself what you want for yourself? God has treated us kindly in the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we be thankful today with hearts that are overflowing with his kindness and goodness. And may we be merciful and kind to others as we show our thanksgiving to God for who he is and for what he's done. If you take your song sheet there, if we made a song that most people, or all people without Christ, would sing today, they would sing, I will glory in myself. I will glory in what I've done. I will glory in who I am. All of my successes, my achievements, I will glory in that. But the one who knows God has saved me by his grace through Jesus Christ when I did not deserve that, they sing, I will glory in my Redeemer. Father, we thank you today that you, as holy God, became, as you sent your Son, flesh, to live on this earth, perfect man, to bear the blame of your people, and how on the cross you took our sin. Father, by your death, the death of your Son, and his resurrection, we live again. Father, make us to be grateful. No matter what we may or may not have physically today, financially, mentally, or emotionally, Father, we have Christ. And I pray that we would be filled with thanksgiving to you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank Jesus today. We do not deserve the least of your favors. And so we give you thanks and praise for who you are and for what you have done in and through Christ and in us because of him. Father, we look forward to the day where we will eternally and forever perfectly give you thanks and praise. But we pray now that you would help us to remember how thankful we should be and we ought to be because of Christ in our lives. Give us a good day together with friends and family. And Lord, help us to be grateful. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.